For the French, a leisurely vacation in the countryside can be the perfect antidote for the stress of modern life. Let's explore how to slow down and relax on the canal barges that slowly work their way across the French countryside on waterways that once served as the transportation corridors of France. Our guides to canal barging in France are Patrick Vidal, who lives in Brittany, and Rebecca Berry, who divides her time between Paris and Egypt when she's not guiding Americans across France. Rebecca and Patrick, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Nice to be here.
Patrick, tell me, when you are working with a barge tour, what is the typical day for a tourist when they take a barge vacation?
By the way it works most of the time, people are coming for around a week, and the boat cruises in the morning, and it cruises very, very slowly. That's the, as you say, it's not traveling very fast. And in the afternoon, stops somewhere, and there's the bus or a van, depending on the size of the barge, depending on the amount of people on the barge, picking them up and taking them to visit a chateau, a market day somewhere, a vineyard, testing some wine, and visiting the countryside.
And then maybe a nice dinner somewhere on the boat or in a
everything
hotel.
Everything happens on the boat. The boat on got the boat. His own
so you
chef.
Go out for your side trip, and the chef is busy cooking on the
Absolutely,
boat.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a chef. It's a floating hotel restaurant.
A floating hotel restaurant. That's exactly
what it is. Yeah,
that explains it. That's a barge tour, a fully inclusive barge tour. You got your transportation, your accommodation, your meals, your excursions.
Absolutely, yes.
Your relaxation. How many people on a boat generally?
It goes from, I think one of the smallest, more exclusive ones starts at 4 people, goes up to 20, 24.
20 or 24 on
yes,
a boat.
Like
that's
that.
A nice group. And I know there's all sorts of different price ranges, but without going into a luxurious cruise, what is a typical
The range goes from the cheapest, roughly, 3,500 euros a week, all inclusive, without the air. But on the spot, everything is inclusive.
So it's about $700 or $800 a day.
Yeah, something like that.
That's not inexpensive. That's quite expensive.
That's not inexpensive, that's for
now,
sure.
Now, you have the option of simply renting a barge.
There are three levels on this barge idea here. We got the one we're talking about, which is you rent a bunk or a bedroom, like you were in an hotel somewhere. Or you can also rent a little boat that you're going to pilot yourself.
Now, that would be like renting a camper van.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like
it's a floating RV.
That's a floating RV. Very nice. Now, that would be a lot less expensive.
That's much less expensive. Yeah, that comes to, depending on the amount of people on the boat, it goes from 1,000 to 2,000 a week without the food. But,
so that's more like $200, $250 a day.
And that's not by person.
Right, that's for the whole group.
That's for the whole group.
So you got 4 people on a barge. Most barges could accommodate 2 couples.
Yes.
And that's no more expensive than hotels.
Absolutely.
So for the cost of a normal hotel, you're getting your floating hotel and your transportation and a beautiful experience.
And you got a little kitchen, you got everything is included.
So Rebecca Berry, we have these two options. You've got the inclusive tour package that Patrick was talking about, and maybe you just wanted to rent a little barge for 4, let's say, and go on your own adventure. How would you do that? How challenging is that? Is it realistic for an American to figure this out?
Sure, in different cities in the port, along the way, along the canals or along the river systems, there are ports that will advertise that you can rent your own little péniche, sometimes called a pénichette. And quite often, the people that are running these little self-hire offices, they're all English-speaking.
Okay.
The big boats, to navigate, you are required to have a license. So the pilot is hired, and he's part of the crew, and he has a special license to take the pénichette. It's self-hire, self-drive.
Yeah.
You don't need a special license.
Now, I've been on both, and the big barge that would accommodate 15, 20 people is like a little mini cruise ship almost. You'd have to have a professional crew. But I've also been on the little péniche, you call it?
Or pénichette.
Pénichette. And it's almost like bowling when you have the bumpers in the lane so you can't do a gutter ball. I mean, it's just you're just going one way down the canal. It's hard to screw up.
It's hard. And if you do, you just have a little bump and you know, tootle along a little. No damage. They're made of plexiglass.
Oh, they are. Okay.
So there's
you don't need to be a mariner to do this.
You just kind of bounce, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. And tell us about coming upon a lock, because that's an integral part of the whole experience, is going through these very pastoral, sleepy locks.
When you come into a lock with a self-hire, the boats are much more narrow than the professional boats, the ones that are so pricey. Plenty of room. You either are going in and closing the doors behind and the lock will fill up with water, and you're raising up, you're going up along in the countryside, or you're emptying out. So it takes about 15 minutes or so for the, it's like being in a little bathtub, actually. You're either filling up.
So you fill up the bathtub or let out the bathtub.
Voila.
So basically, to get the big picture, I guess you could take a barge from the Mediterranean to the Atlantic.
yeah.
and stay in France. And it goes up and up and up, and then it does the continental divide, and then down and down and down. And in order to gain altitude or lose altitude, you hit these locks. You navigate your little boat inside, close off the door, fill it up with water, it raises you, and then open the other door, and you're on your way.
Exactly.
Do you have to make an appointment for this?
No, you have to take turns, though.
So you line up, and
yeah.
maybe on peak time, you'd have a little bit of a wait.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any exercise involved, Patrick?
They can be on some of them, different types of locks. Some of them are automatic. You just have a little light coming, a little, how do you call that, a red thing. In that,
so you're just sipping your glass of wine and it does all the work.
It's kind of, it's reading the fact that you're coming, opening the door, and you get in and the water comes on its own. And it's
hard work one. Yeah. Tell us about the one where you have the crank.
It's much more interesting.
Tell us about how that
you
is.
You get in and then you make sure that one of your crew gets out of the boat straight away and comes on the side of the thing because you've got the lock keeper, but he can do one door at a time only. So
the lock keeper needs an assistant.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So you come out. You help the lock keeper to shut the doors. And if the lock keeper is a bit lazy, because, you know, it could be just after lunch, he could be a bit on the sleepy side, nappy side of his afternoon, you give him a hand to open the vans to get the water in as well. And it's a good exercise for your arms, definitely.
Tell us about this lock keeper culture. Who are the people that live in the cottages on the locks, and what are they like?
It's very interesting. It's one of those jobs after the First World War, which have been reserved for widows of the First World War. Because there's so many men died during the First World War. I mean, something like 50% of the men between 15 and 35 years old died during the First World War. So a lot of jobs were secured for widows.
Let's think about that for a moment first, because I've heard this statistic before, and it is just mind-blowing from an American point of view, or from anybody's point of view, that half of all the men between 15 and 30 were casualties after World War I.
Absolutely.
That would devastate the society. And then you've got this glut of women who have no mm-hmm. partner and who are looking for work. And the government found work for them. And that's the heritage now, as these widows would be running.
You know about those people, so many people died during the First World War. Those graphic of pyramid of ages that you can find on books around. And the one from France from this period is completely tilted. Because normally you got a certain amount of young people and, you know,
that's
the pyramid
right, yeah.
goes pointed with the older one
with
at
older
the top,
people,
which,
yeah.
which are less. And there's a big gap in this pyramid.
So the pyramid of the age groups in France of living people has a big gap in
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
there's
a
right
place where
the pyramid.
They didn't have much of a base.
So today, who is running these canals? Are there still interesting characters?
You can still find, they're still descendants of
these
absolutely.
Widows.
A lot of those locks have been kept for the widows and the daughter. Very often, it's a job which doesn't require a lot of work.
University training, yeah. It's an easy
lot of
job.
Training. You can stay at home, and it's not big money. So
it's
in the French
life,
culture,
yeah.
it's been accepted as a woman's job, if I may say. I don't want to be derogative on that, but as a secondary job. There's one of the family member who's got a job outside and makes a bit more money.
Yeah.
And the second one, because you got a free house with it as well.
So you live in the cottage on the lock.
You live on the lock.
And are these a heritage of the industrial age then? It was part of the industry to have these locks.
19th century, that's when they really built those locks and those systems. In fact, it was a very unfortunate time because they built it in the 40s, 50s. And a few days later came the train.
Oh, that was
so
bad timing,
wasn't
it?
The timing was atrocious.
A big investment to dig all these canals.
It was enormous, yeah.
And then the canals were more efficient than a carriage on a road.
For 20 years.
But then you have
trains comes in
on
and it just takes
iron
over.
Rails.
Mm. And it just takes over.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Rebecca Berry and Patrick Vidal. We're talking about exploring France by canal. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Diana's on the line from Friday Harbor in Washington. Diana, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much, Rick, and thank you, Rebecca and Patrick. This is fascinating to me. My daughter and I will be going to France in April, and I'm particularly interested in the self-guided barge tour. Was it Pinochet that Patrick said? And so I'm looking at what may be an appropriate itinerary. If we did do a self-guided tour, how many people we would need? Would we combine with other people if there were just two of us? And maybe a week-long to a 10-day itinerary? We'd be flying into Paris, but we'd have to get to someplace wherever it might be starting. So I'd love to know more about it.
So, Rebecca, Diana has about 7 or 10 days. First of all, in France, what are the most popular canals to use?
The Canal de Bourgogne is very popular, and that's the canal that I know the best.
And that's in Burgundy.
Yeah,
so that
in the
would
Burgundy
be,
region.
Just,
yeah, southeast, yeah.
Dijon.
Dijon.
From Paris, you'd go a couple hours to the east by train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the Canal du Midi is very, very popular as well. A little more, and since it is so popular, the travel is a little bit slower. There are more boats traveling.
So the congestion would slow things down.
Yeah, there's a little traffic
down there. That's an
entirely
different part of France. That's down in the south by Carcassonne.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. The Nivernais, the Canal de Nivernais, is also in Burgundy area, south of a town called Auxerre, spelled A-U-X-E-R-R-E, and it's different. They're all quite different. The Canal de Nivernais, I would call it, it's very wooded, and you're really cutting through the countryside. It's particularly beautiful.
Hmm. So those are three major canals that probably are the lion's share of the canal traffic for recreational barging?
There are others. You can certainly cruise on the river, but it's much, for me, I prefer the canal. The pace is slower. You can get off, walk between,
take
a bicycle.
That's the essence of canaling.
Just pull over on the side, pull a line out and get a bottle of wine and sit on the front deck. And it's just the pace is so much more enjoyable.
And we talked about April, so the south would be a good one. Mm. The Canal du Midi would be a good one because
in the spring, okay.
Yeah, because it's not too hot yet, it's not too busy, and you might have better weather
in the south
than Burgundy.
Also, the spring or the fall, you could go down to the Canal du Midi in the summer.
It's
maybe
still
in
manageable,
Burgundy.
and
it's kind of the famous ones, the Midi and the Burgundy. Are there other canals in France that are popular?
There's quite a few little ones that are not very known around the place, which are not very, very...
But most of the industry is in those two areas.
Mm. Absolutely, oui. The fact is, in Burgundy, you've got, I can't remember how many kilometers of canals you've got just around Burgundy. You can go all over the place in Burgundy, Canal du Centre. You can go on the rivers as well, like the Saône. You can really, really travel around a lot in Burgundy just by hitting the water. The Canal du Midi is more about reaching the Rhône River to the Garonne, which links to the Atlantic Ocean. And it's a one-way system when in Burgundy you can really play around.
So if you had 1 week, you're not really necessarily going anywhere.
You're not going to go very far.
You're
in one
being
week.
Someplace.
Yes.
But it's not like this is how we're going to Barcelona. No, you're just being in Burgundy.
Absolutely.
And if you are with your... Rebecca, what is the name again for the independent...
The self-hire or a Penichette?
The Penichette. If you're on a Penichette, you could have the same routine that Patrick was talking about with the fully guided barge. You could go in the morning. You could just tie it up somewhere. You could have your bicycle or take a walk and come back. You could actually get out and let your other people in your party continue barging, and you could meet them down at the next village.
Yep. It's very difficult to lose a boat on the canal. They're very, very narrow. And if you're walking at a brisk pace, you're going to be at the lock before the boat.
You can get out and walk. And there's probably towpaths along
the way.
Just because they would have had donkeys pulling in the 19th century. And now you have your spouse pull the barge.
Exactly.
You're joking, but it's absolutely right. The story says, they had horses to pull the boats, but the horses were too expensive, they were using too much food, and they were taking too much place on the boat.
So
the man was steering, and the rest of the family was pulling.
Yo-ho, hee-ho, that's the Volga boat song, right?
That's the Volga boat song.
So you can have the Burgundy boat song, too.
Yes.
Diane, I hope that gives you some good ideas.
That's wonderful, Rick. Thanks so much.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, too, Patrick and Rebecca.
Pleasure.
Bye-bye.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking barging in France. Our phone number is 877-333-RICK. And Gary's on the line in Post Falls, Idaho. Gary, thanks for your call.
No, thanks, Rick. Say, my wife and I have considered the barging trip, but we both like to bicycle as well. So it kind of narrows your choice down to having a guided tour. And to do that and be able to ride along the canals, what can one expect by taking a guided tour on the barge? What level of service just what can you expect on a guided tour?
Rebecca worked on the boats for 8 years. What kind of service do people expect when they hire onto one of these fully guided excursions?
They're all quite comfortable. Obviously, the more expensive are the quality of the service, the quality of the food. It's gastronomic. Your wines that you're drinking are, the finest Burgundies and Bordeaux that you can get. It's a white glove production. Or you can have a more, a little bit simpler. However, there's always a guide on board. The cruise consists of, there's always a chef in the kitchen. There's the pilot, a deckhand, someone who is taking care of the excursions and driving the van. And some cabin girls or stewardesses that are taking care of the table service and service in the cabins. The guide will take you up and just kind of, sometimes you'll need to have a visit translated. So the guide will make sure that's done. Just driving and getting you from A to B.
And do you have plenty of time to bicycle to different villages and then just meet the barge somewhere up the canal?
Sure, that's possible.
So you would always have the option of skipping out of the excursion, and they probably have a bike on the boat.
Yeah, well, yeah, the boat, there are bicycles on all the boats. Yeah.
Most of the boats provide bicycles. Yeah.
What a wonderful ratio of staff to customers, you know. You have 20, 25 people, yeah, and you've got this staff of six or eight.
Six or seven,
sure, yeah.
If you speak English, are there English language excursions, or would you be in a French excursion?
No, it's most of those companies are run by English-speaking people.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Most of the clients are English-speaking. So,
what would the downside of being with 20 people on a barge? It sounds like there's a lot of advantages. You know, you'd have an interesting convivial sort of social circle. You'd have enough people to merit having a great chef and really nice cooking. What is the downside of having 20 people on a boat?
You're a bit away from real life. You're not really discovering the culture of the place. You know,
that's true. You have your own luxurious bubble.
Absolutely. Exactly. That's a good wording for that. It's very nice. The pace is fascinating, but you lack the little cultural touch that you would have on a tour, running around and bumping into people. You are taking from one place. You visit one place. Your visit is translated. You never go really. You have to find your own things on your own, anything like that. It's very, very nice, but it's not reality. It's not reality.
I've got no problem. I'm generally interested in reality, but when it comes to a barge, I've got no problem with this luxurious bubble. I did it one day, and I'll tell you, it was a luxurious barge trip, and I was so charmed and tempted and just in love with the whole experience. The sunflower fields were going by. We were sipping great wine. It was just, we made friends with the crew. It was so smooth and gentle.
Mm.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's very relaxing.
It does sound like you have the opportunity to enjoy both worlds by, from time to time, just wandering off into some village somewhere and get lost for half a day, and then finding your way back to the canal and the barge.
And then when you're done, you can stay in some small town and really, do your more reality experience travel.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Gary, thanks so much for your call. I hope that helps out.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rick. Have a good day.
Happy travels.
Bye-bye.
We've been barging through France with the help of Rebecca Berry and Patrick Vidal. Our email address is radio@ricksteves.com. Pete in Bloomington, Illinois, emailed us, and Pete writes, "We took a barge cruise for our 30th anniversary. It was the most relaxing vacation. Very slow-paced. I even was left behind at one village and was able to walk to the next lock and get back on the boat with no problem at all. Only three other couples were on board, and we all clicked. It's the best way to see the France that not many other people actually get to see." That's a pretty good testimony for barging.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's the way it goes.
And it's a good description of it. Relax, slow pace.
When you analyze it from a budget point of view, when you consider this is an all-exclusive vacation, you're not renting a car, you're not paying for hotels, you're not wondering where your meal is going to be. If it's a good barge, you've got good accommodations and good meals.
Yeah, you know what you're paying for.
And you're seeing France from the backside, through the backyard of France.
You're right. When every time you get somewhere, you don't get through the main drive or the main street in the town. You go from behind the village or behind the town a little bit, and it's something very interesting.
If you want idyllic, and if you want France, and if you want quiet and peaceful, no traffic noise.
Here we are.
Yep.
There you go. Patrick Vidal, Rebecca Berry, Exploring France by Canal. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Each year, Rick Steves tour guides take free-spirited travelers on escorted tours through France and beyond, one small group at a time. This year, we're featuring tours of Paris and the south of France, Paris and the heart of France, Paris by itself, and the villages and vineyards of eastern France. For a free catalog and Rick's Tour Experience DVD, visit the tour pages at ricksteves.com.